If there has been a newspaper in the last several weeks that did not include something about December 3rd, 1990, I've missed it. And I cannot remember a newscast that I've heard recently that did not have something to say about Mr. Browning's prediction for December the 3rd or the 4th in the West Tennessee area, the possibility of an earthquake. Because our minds have been pointed in that direction, I want us to think about the subject of predictions this morning. The song that we just sang is one of the best songs of preparation for a lesson that we've ever had. I could almost say amen to that song and just sit down, and maybe that's what you'd like. But that song really set the stage for our study. God holds the future in His hands. I especially appreciated a certain portion of our prayer that Don led us in a moment ago. When he was leading us as we were praying about the events that are taking place in the Mideast, I appreciated the way he said that when he said we really sometimes don't know exactly how to pray and exactly what we ought to ask. Peace and justice possible. But then if you noticed, as he led us, we said that we want God to make the decision so that everything will turn out in the best possible way. I believe that the song that we've used, all of the singing, but especially that last one, and the prayer that we have prayed sets the stage for our study this morning on the subject of predictions. Someone said the other day, if you take the numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 0, you have 1, 2 for 12, that's December, 3 for the 3rd, the day of the month, 4 for the hour, 5, 6 for the minute, 7, 8 for the Richter scale, and 9, 0 for the year, for what's supposed to happen tomorrow. You can take a group of numbers and do anything with them, just like some people take the Word of God and do anything with it, to try to prove what they want to prove. But I think it is appropriate that we stop and think about predictions today, and I'd like to begin by reading several passages of Scripture. First, in Matthew 16, verses 1 through 4. Matthew 16, verses 1 through 4. Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it shall be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And then over in the 24th chapter of Matthew, in a setting where Jesus is answering some questions that have been asked and gives some information that has to do with the coming events surrounding the destruction of Jerusalem and also of His second coming, here are some of the words that are included. Beginning at verse 4 of Matthew 24, Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. At verse 11, and many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. At verse 23, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Verse 32, Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. Know not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Verse 42. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Verse 13 of the 25th chapter. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. Now, I read all of those verses of Scripture to serve as a foundation for some observations that I want to make this morning. In the first place, it is possible for some predictions to be made. Predicting something is not necessarily a problem. There are predictions that can be made based on revelation and a true understanding of revelation. I would predict this morning that all of us that are in this audience shall die, unless we live to the return of the Lord, and there will be a death and the separation, at least, from this earth. Now, that prediction is based on the teaching of the Bible. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. I would even go so far as to predict that in the year 2090, 100 years from today, that there will not be a one of us, very probably, who's in this audience this morning who will still be alive. It's not probable that any of us would live to be 100, and if you took the very smallest babies that are here this morning, that would cover a lifetime of 100 years. I think I can predict that with accuracy. I can make the prediction that this earth will not stand forever, that it will someday melt with fervent heat, and that the elements will be dissolved. That prediction is made on the basis of passages such as 2 Peter 3. Now, I did not predict when that will take place, but I think with safety I can predict that it will. I can easily predict that the Lord is going to return, that when he returns, there's going to be a gathering of all people, there's going to be a judgment, and there's going to be the beginning of an eternity. I cannot predict when he is going to return because that's not been revealed. But I can predict that he is going to return. I predict that every person who is in this building this morning will spend an eternity either in heaven or hell. Now, that doesn't take a lot of intelligence to predict. Just an acceptance of revelation. Based on the revelation that God has given, we can predict that all of us, and probably could even go a little further in that prediction, that more people at least, I would hope not of this audience, but more people in the world would be lost than those who would be saved. The Bible talks about the straight and narrow way, and few there be that find it, and the broad and wide gate and way, and many there be that go in thereat. So based on revelation, I can predict that all of us will spend an eternity in heaven or hell, and that the population of hell will be greater than the population of heaven. Those are predictions based on revelation. It is also possible to make predictions based on the natural laws that have been put into existence by our Heavenly Father. And this is what is involved with the prediction relative to the possibility of an earthquake at a certain time in a certain area. You and I listen to the weather forecast in the evening or sometime during the day. Those people who are making those predictions are predicting that certain types of weather will be in certain parts of the country based upon their knowledge of natural laws. How the sun works with the moon, with the earth, with these fronts, with all of the things that are involved as far as God's natural laws are concerned. And we realize that they miss sometimes. They are off certain degrees. But these predictions are made on natural facts, on natural laws. And we believe that weather forecasters can predict, not always being exactly right, but can predict. We turn on the radio or television and hear that there is a tornado watch out in a certain section of the country. That is a prediction made on an understanding of the natural laws and what laws are involved that would spurn a tornado. And if one is sighted, then there will be a tornado warning, and someone will come on and say that it's going in a certain direction, and we expect it to touch down at such and such a place or to go through such and such an area. That's a prediction that's made based on the laws that are understood from a scientific standpoint. Astronomy is a great science. Be sure that you make a distinction between astronomy and astrology. Scientists are able to tell us when Halley's Comet will next appear, over a period of many years, and get it right down, pinpointed almost to the minute. They're able to tell us when an eclipse will take place. They're able to do that because they know where the sun is. They know the relationship of the sun, the moon, and the earth, and they're able to predict a precise moment when there will be an eclipse. Scientists are able to predict when there will be an equinox, when there will be the shortest day or the longest day, or the sun will have its direct rays over the equator. They're able to predict this because, you see, when God created all this, He set it up in a system. A system that can be studied, a system that can be understood, maybe not to the degree that He understands it, but at least to the degree that there can be predictions made. I'm amazed as I think about the history of our space program. I watched one day as they were retrieving the astronauts from where the spaceship had landed out in the middle of one of the oceans, and watched as it came down, and it came down in sight of the ship that they had put out there to pick up those astronauts. As I sat and watched that, I thought, how can anybody that claims to be a scientist not believe in God? Here man has come about with the ability that he can shoot off a space shot in Florida and put something in orbit around this Earth for several days, and then bring it back down out there in the ocean within a few hundred yards of a ship that's been put out there, sitting there ready to pick up those astronauts. They can predict where that thing's going to come down because they're using God's laws of nature. Now, it's my understanding that that's what's involved in the possible earthquake for tomorrow or next day. One says this is a logical time for it to happen. There are others that disagree. But all of them at least agree that there are factors involved in West Tennessee that are suitable for an earthquake, and that other factors may involve that make this time of the year a suitable time. That's nothing in the world except studying the scientific laws and the way this earth is put together and where there are problems and cracks in the earth and how the different forces affect that. We know that forces affect in a way, for example, that the moon affects the tides. This is God's way that He put it into existence. And it doesn't bother me at all that there are those from a scientific standpoint who study this. Some of them may not have the right motives. Some of them may not reach the right conclusions. But at least it's possible for predictions to be made based on God's natural laws. It's also possible for us to make predictions based on observations. I predict that if you call my dad at about 7 o'clock any night, that you'll get him out of bed. I predict if you call him about 5 o'clock in the morning, he'll be up to answer the telephone. I predict that if we're on a trip and there's a Walmart near, Judy will see it. I predict that if there is a Christmas program on television, she'll be watching it. And to be fair, she would predict if there's a sports event on television, I'd be watching it. Now, what are we doing? We're predicting out of observation and habits, observed habits. We will be predicting in a few days as a budget figure is presented to the congregation. Last year, our elders, with input from others, predicted that we would be able to reach a goal of $5,300 a week and maybe even go about that, above that. And they made provisions for us to do certain works based on their predictions of what this congregation would be able to do. And a lot of that was based on the observation of what it had done in the past and the observation of the growth pattern of the congregation. Why, we use predictions like this all the time. There's nothing wrong with predictions that are based on a true understanding of revelation or an understanding of God's laws, His scientific laws of nature that have been put into effect, or even based on observed habits. We may make predictions. But then on the other side of the matter, there are false predictions that are made. There are predictions that are made based on man's teachings that violate the revelation of God. Not long ago, we had a prediction that the rapture would begin on a certain day. Well, in the first place, the Bible doesn't teach that there will be a rapture. In the second place, it doesn't teach that we can predict when the Lord is returning. But there are those who had been taught that this would happen, and based on that false teaching, and maybe their emotions involved, and perhaps other factors, they predicted that there would be a rapture. It did not take place. There are those who have predicted the Lord's return to be on a certain day, or at least in a certain year. 1914 was one of them. It did not take place. Within the last decade, we had one who predicted that the end of the world would come at a certain day, and then when it didn't come, he said he'd missed it a year and predicted it'd come the next year on that certain day, and it didn't come. Well, Revelation says that the Lord will come as a thief in the night. 2 Peter 3, verse 10, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 2. Revelation tells us that we cannot predict the time of the Lord's return. That there are not signs out here that tell us when He's coming. That's the reason that you'll see me not singing the song, "Jesus is Coming Soon," if we're present somewhere that it's used, because I believe it teaches error. If I got in this pulpit and taught that when these signs come to pass, the end is just around the corner, the elders would take me out of the pulpit, or ought to, and I won't be singing that song because I believe it teaches error. But God tells us we can predict the fact that the Lord is going to return, but not the time of His return. That's based on a false teaching, a misunderstanding of God's Word, and perhaps emotions involved. Fortune tellers will tell you that they can predict by reading the lines in your hands, or in other ways, look into a crystal ball and tell you what's going to happen in your life tomorrow, next day. That's a false prediction. God hasn't given anybody that power. There are those who have rigged religious healing services. It's been proven. I have a book in my office about that thick that reveals many of the works that have been done to prove that in some of these instances there are hookups where a person has a little hearing aid in his ear and somebody out there is getting the facts and feeding them to him. You really have problems when they feed the wrong facts. One of the biggest businesses in America today is astrology. I drew a contrast between astronomy. Astronomy is a study of the stars and the heavens from the standpoint of the natural law. Astrology is a study of it to make it apply even to our mental and spiritual makeup. And it just gets my righteous indignation stirred up to think that there are those who claim to be New Testament Christians who have to check their horoscope the first of the day before they'll do anything. I don't know how the stars were set up when I was born. And I don't care. I care about where my God was and where He is now. But those who tend to predict in that way and say that they can predict your emotional makeup, your mental makeup, your spiritual makeup from the way the stars were set the day you were born, that's false predictions. And so we have those that are true and we have those that are false. And we need to take God's word and be able to distinguish between. Predictions such as that one that is made for tomorrow or next day can be valuable. Don't you think that the prediction for an earthquake in West Tennessee on December the 3rd has awakened all of us a little bit more than we would have been otherwise to the possibility that it could happen? And don't you think all the suggestions that have been made in the newspaper and in other ways to help us to know what to do in case there is one makes good sense? There is some good that has come out of this. I received the bulletin from Campbell Street in Jackson this week, and they had a little article in it that I thought was good entitled, In Case of Earthquake. If we happen to have an earthquake during Bible classes or worship services, here are several things we need to keep in mind and be ready to practice. One, stay calm. If in class, get under a table or desk. If during worship, get between the pews. Two, do not run out of the building. Electric wires may be down. You could be electrocuted. Three, after the initial shock, those nearest the exit should check the outside for downed electric wires and a safe exit should be found. Four, everyone should exit as orderly as possible. Five, if families are not sitting together, a reunion should take place outside. Six, a safe place should be found outside clear of all trees, poles, and electric lines in case an aftershock takes place. If damage is extensive, the congregation should remain at the building to keep from choking the streets and making it difficult for emergency vehicles to operate. Now, that's just good common sense. That's just preparing for the possibility. We know there is a possibility, so certainly it's good for us to think about that. If the weather were such that it were announced that tonight in the area of 6 o'clock there could be a tornado in this area, should we not take that into consideration? Well, God wants us to use our minds. He wants us to use common sense. He wants us to prepare to do our best and even to take care of that which may be the worst as far as physical things are concerned. I think there is another value in that maybe it will cause us to stop and think about who does hold the future in his hands. And that we ought to be more concerned about the possibility of the Lord's return than the possibility of an earthquake. If out of this can come that valuable result, then it will have been helpful. Maybe it will remind us that there are things that can happen, that we were not intended to stay on this earth for an eternity. And that we're not to fear the one who can kill the body, but rather the one who can kill the soul or destroy both body and soul in hell. Matthew 10. If out of these predictions that take place, you and I can put it in proper focus and it helps us to be better prepared for physical events that might happen and especially be better prepared for the spiritual event of the Lord's return, then there will be some value in it. But there are also some dangers. Dangers associated with specific predictions that do not come to pass. There is a danger that by Wednesday, if nothing has happened, we will tend to say, oh, you see, it's not really possible. And there is the danger of focusing on December the 3rd and or 4th to the extent that we hadn't thought about it on December the 1st and 2nd and November the 30th. There's probably just as much possibility that an earthquake could have happened yesterday or today as tomorrow or next day. But most of us have been thinking about tomorrow or next day. And if it causes us to focus on a specific time and not look at the overall possibilities, there can be a danger. And then when it doesn't happen, there is also the danger related with it that we'll say, see, it didn't happen, so it could not happen. I think this is the problem with the Lord's return. We have had so many predict that he was going to return at a certain time, and he didn't. And our overreaction in the other direction is, if we're not careful, to say, see, it didn't happen. It's not going to happen anytime soon. Although we cannot say Jesus is coming soon, we need to be careful that we don't say he's not coming soon. I don't know when he's coming. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. They sort of made a joke last night on one of the newscasts when they were saying it would probably rain tomorrow, and one of them said it might rain out the earthquake. Well, I'll tell you one thing. If the Lord comes today, it'll take care of the earthquake. And that's the point that really matters. You and I must be careful about two things. Now, let me review with you what we've said before I emphasize these. There can be predictions made, true, based on revelation, scientific fact, or observed habits. There are false predictions that are made. There are some values and dangers associated with these. Here are the two things especially that we need to emphasize. We need to realize and emphasize that spiritual matters are more important than physical matters. And folks, though we need to be concerned about what might happen tomorrow or next day, we need to be more concerned about what's going to happen one of these days when the Lord returns. And we need to be careful that we do not let these predictions that do not take place as they're predicted get our minds away from the real facts of realizing that the Lord is going to come someday and we need to be ready. Let's do everything that we can of a reasonable way to, in a reasonable way to be ready. If there's an earthquake tomorrow, let's do our best to face it. Whatever the difficulties are, let's use common sense and do our best in the face of that, but let's think more about the Lord's return. A few days ago, there was a woman, I understand, in the Memphis area, who asked a preacher, if that earthquake comes on December the 3rd, and it's a real bad one, what are you planning to do? And he said, I'm planning to go home to be with the Lord. And she said, that wasn't what I was talking about. I think, folks, right there is our problem. Let's focus on the fact that God holds the future in His hands, and there is a great day coming. It might be December the 3rd or 4th, I don't know when, but there is a great day coming that really matters. And if you and I have not become Christians or not faithful as Christians, that's the preparation that we need to make. Let's be prepared for tomorrow, for the best of our ability, if something happens. But the preparation that matters is being ready to meet the Lord when He returns. There is a great day coming. Think about that and the invitation of the Lord as together we stand and sing.
There's a great day coming, a great day.